Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 189 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is program number 291. If you'd like a copy of it, make sure you have your paper and pencil ready, and you must identify it by the number, program 291. You'll want to play this program over and over again. You'll have to, in order for it to be able to reprove you on a daily basis, you'll want to listen to it many times down through the years. We have some music, we've got some testimonials, some Bible reading, and a strong message on program 291 that you'll, as I said, want to hear over and over again. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this service. Holy Father God, I pray that You'll impress upon everyone that hears this message to stay before You in prayer, because it is a rule, the sinfulness of not praying. The reason it's so sinful is because that it's impossible to live a spiritual life if we don't have a prayer life. And if we don't have a prayer life, then there's a distance so far from You and ourselves that it's impossible for us to get along in this world without Your guidance, Your direction. So, Lord, impress everyone to pray without ceasing and pray always, because this is a commandment. And if we break one of them, we've broken them all. And this is one to love the Lord, to commune with Him daily, all throughout the day, and also throughout the night if we're awake. So, Lord, let this message that You've given me to preach and to teach with enter the minds, the hearts, the souls of all those out in radio land, the saved and the unsaved, that they may enter into the kingdom of God without prayer, without keeping the commandments, without communion with You. It would be impossible to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so, Lord, we ask that You save souls and strengthen the church in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, I'm going to sing a song for you. Here it's called Stand By Me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, wind and water, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, now who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me.
who never lost her. Stand by me.
You know, many people don't believe that there's actually such a thing as living a victorious life in this world. But there is. And that life it's a spiritual life. And a spiritual life is one that is gotten by a prayerful life. It's impossible to live a spiritual life without having a prayerful life. And the Lord tells us to pray without ceasing. Actually, he says, pray always. And the Apostle Paul stated, by the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord, to pray without ceasing. So that is the victorious life. Can only be found not in Muhammad or in Buddha or any other person that ever lived on the face of this earth, except with the exception of Jesus. So the victorious life is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible stated that the Messiah would come to the earth and be crucified for the sins of the world, and he, Jesus, is the crucified one. And he, Jesus, is the risen one. He has risen from the dead. That's what Easter is all about, is that if he rose from the dead, the Bible states that the same spirit that was in him is in you, that you also shall rise from the dead on the last day. And he is also the glorified one. Who is the one, and we are glorified if we're in Christ, if we're living the victorious life in Jesus. And Jesus also is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Everyone has a need for a life of abundant power. How could anybody else, how could we have abundant power unless we were in Jesus, because all power in heaven and on earth belongs to him and no one else. So he is all power and all wisdom. So in regards to the victorious life in the Lord, we need to pay attention. We have to read the scriptures to review the matter from another view. Let's see how a Christian can really live a victorious life. You hear people say, we got to do this and we got to do that, we got to keep this commandment and that commandment. But they never tell you how. Well, I'm here today to tell you how to live an overcoming life. We all know that the prayer life, if we're doing it correctly, in other words, that's without ceasing. Without ceasing cannot be improved upon, can it?
No.
Pray always. You can't improve upon that. So if you're not praying always and without ceasing, then you're not doing it correctly. And that's why you have so much problems in your life. Start doing it, and you'll see that God will honor those that honor him. So the prayer life is bound up in an intimate way with the entire spirit life. So I'm saying that the prayer life is essential in order to have the spirit life. No prayer life, no spirit life. And when you're walking downtown or you're walking someplace, Satan is able to destroy you. He can tempt you into sinning. And that's the thing that the Lord hates more than anything in the world, is people that sin, or the sinful He hates sin because sin caused God to have to give up his son, to be beaten, mistreated, beaten into so that no one could recognize him. So the entire spirit life, that is only when the entire life previously, which was marked by a lack of prayer, in other words, it's sin, your former life is filled with sin. And just because a person becomes born again doesn't mean that they're living a prayerful life. People get saved, they are reborn. But they have to grow in power. They said the Bible says grow in grace, but grace means power. And that means you have to strive to keep praying and praying until you get completely close to the Lord and read the Word and pray and pray until you reach the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when that happens, you have, well, you're renewed already, but you want to reach the fullness of the stature of the Lord so that there's nothing in the world that can tempt you. Just as there was nothing in the world that Satan could tempt Jesus with and be victorious. Jesus was victorious over the devil. because the renewed life and the sacrifice life for prayer can have its proper place so that you can have power in God so that you can share Christ's power. And remember, all power and in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. So if you're in Jesus, then you are sharing that power with him. You're not to be satisfied with less than the victorious life in which God calls the children of God into. Why not reprove yourself how the Lord in the seven letters to the churches in the book of Revelation that John the Revelator scribed or wrote concluded with a promise to those who overcome. He said, if you'll do this, then I have a promise for you. If you'll do that, the seven churches, we must open up the pages of the Word of God, the mirror, the looking glass, and reprove ourselves with that same Word of the Lord, which is the Lord. The Word of God is Jesus. Because the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. You'll find that in the scripture, in the sixth chapter of Proverbs, verse 23. That's why I say save the tapes and listen to them over and over again. Sometimes, you know, people send their tapes back. Well, that isn't going to do you any good because you wouldn't be able to keep the sixth chapter of Proverbs, verse 23, if you don't allow yourself to be reproved by the Word of God, which is Christ. We need to take the time of getting over the things that where the Lord rebuked the seven churches seven times. He repeated over and over again, him, quote, him that overcometh, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, 11, 17, verse 26, and also in the third chapter, I hope you have your paper and pencils, let me repeat that again, Revelation 2, 7, 2, 11, chapter 2, verse 17, chapter 2, verse 26, and also chapter 3, verse 5, and chapter 3, verse 12, and chapter 3, verse 21. You have to pay special attention to what unspeakable glorious promises that the Lord gives unto those verses. All these verses were given to the churches like Ephesus, which had the problem because it lost its first love. Remember how excited you were when you were first saved? Then down through the years you believe that you've arrived and you no longer have to keep the fundamental foundations of the Word of God. You lost your first love. You don't praise the Lord and thank the Lord any longer. And therefore you don't have any victory. And you say, well, we're so busy we don't have time to pray. So you're so busy that you're going to go to hell. Is that what it is? I hope not. I pray not. Revelation 2:4. The church of Sardis, which had a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. No more works in you any longer. You're dead to the word of the Lord. You can't hear the word of the Lord of those that preach the word. You just don't pay any attention any longer. Because you're terrific in your own might. That's Revelation 3:1. I'll repeat that again. You have a name that thou livest. People believe that you live because you put on a front. You're phony. But the Lord says, yeah, you're phony because you're dead. You just make a good appearance, and when somebody rebukes you, you hang your head down. It's like you're trying for the Academy Awards or something. In Revelation 3:1, the church of Laodicea, with their lukewarmness and self-satisfaction, those are those that have been around for a few years, and they are satisfied with themselves, and they're lukewarm, and the Lord promises to spew them out of his mouth if they don't repent. Verses 13 and 16. Why won't they repent? How come? Why do they want to go to hell? If only they would repent, they would win the crowning victory with the Lord. The call comes to every Christian to strive for the crown, to be crowned. It's possible to be a crowning Christian, a Christian with a crown, and yet it's still more impossible to be a preacher if in the power of God. More impossible to be a preacher in the power of God if you are not in your prayer life, and if you're lukewarm. How are you going to be a preacher of the Lord? How are you going to preach anything to people that you yourself don't have? A preacher in the power of God. You don't have any power of God. You're not even ashamed of it. That is, if everything is not sacrificed to gain the power, which is the victory. The answer to the question as to how we attain to have a powerful life in the Lord, which gives you the victory, is quite simple. Everything that we gain must be from Christ and in Christ. Quote, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ not triumphed in ourselves, but in Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. Quote, in all these things we are more than conquerors, that is, in Christ, not ourselves, through him that loved us. And who is that? Isn't it Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
That's Romans 8:37. Everything, in order to get into heaven, depends on our close relationship to, in other words, our right relationship to Jesus. It requires our entire surrender. That's perfect faith, where you have faith in Jesus enough to turn your whole life over to him, because he never hurts you when you're trying to get to him and when you strive to get to him. Perfect faith in him, not yourself, and unbroken fellowship with him. What is unbroken fellowship with the Lord? Is always pray always. Amen?
Amen.
To who? Him. And always pray without ceasing. But if you want to know how to obtain all this, you must have a listening ear to the Word of God. Now listen to what the Lord says. For he that hath an ear, that is a hearing ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, saith unto the churches. Revelations 2:7. And also 2:11, also 2:17, also 2:29, and chapter 3, verse 6, and 13, verse 13 and 22. So listen again to this simple directions as to the way that we are able to receive full enjoyment of what is prepared for you. You know, we're the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven if you're in heaven all the time. How are you able to obtain anything from the kingdom of heaven if you're not there? How can you preach to Nineveh if you've gone the other direction? Amen?
Amen.
You must be in heaven to receive the commonwealth of heaven. The Lord looks around and doesn't see citizens there much. He sees a lot of people saying, I'm holy and praise the Lord and I can do all things in Christ, but are they in Christ? Are they at the throne? Are you? So enjoyment. In order to receive full enjoyment, all the commonwealth of what is prepared for you and thyself in Christ, the Lord Jesus, how that it may be yours, all the different things that are the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven, healing and the power to cast out devils, all these signs follow them that believe. Lay hands on people and they shall recover. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. Oh, it's impossible to you because you're so far away from the Lord, you don't have faith enough to even pray to him, let alone to have the power from him or to have the benefits of the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven. All of these are something that you must newly discover. Well, what do you mean, discover? Discover what? Discover of sin, because it's a sin to not pray. You've got to discover this new thing, this new discovery of sin. What am I doing with sinning? Look into the Word of God and see it for yourself. A new surrender to Christ is in order, and a new faith to have the power that will make it possible for you to persevere. Not only in this world, are you frightened of the things that are going on in the world today. The Bible says that the fearful and unbelieving will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the book of Romans, you can find described the knowledge of sin. Book of Romans, what chapter would that be? I think it's chapter 7, don't you? We have to have the knowledge of sin because it is necessary. It's impossible to repent if you don't know what sin is. How am I going to repent from sin if I don't know what sin is? So it's important to have the knowledge of sin, to know what sin is, because it is necessary to repent in order to receive forgiveness. And if you're not forgiven, then you're not saved. Amen?
Amen.
Forgiven of what? So you got to know what sin is. Our original mother, Eve, she didn't know sin. The only sin she knew of was that she shouldn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But she did, and so when she did, the whole situation of good and evil, now we know it all. If we read the Bible, you really don't. Some people say, well, the Bible is sinful. It talks about sin, all the different kinds of sin. Of course the Lord knows what's going on down there, and so he shows you what sin is in the Bible. Incest, adultery, fornication, bestiality, homosexuality, and lesbianism. It's all the same. So if you don't know what's in, also thievery, lying, stealing, coveting, not praying, not loving the Lord God with all your heart, totally surrendering unto the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. Is you think that you're going to be neglecting anything of importance in this world if you give your entire self over to God who created you and died for you on the cross at Calvary and shed his blood for you and showed you plainly in the word that he conquered death, hell, and the grave? Sin, Satan, and the world. If you don't know what sin is, how can you get forgiveness for it? Quote, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God, unquote. That's why you have to read the word so that you can tell that you've sinned and that you're still sinning because you're not praying always. And praying without ceasing, staying before the throne of God so you can have his power, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So they become guilty before God, unquote, Romans 3:19. That is, until we are living a 100% spiritual life and prayer life. Remember, you can't have the spiritual life to walk in the Spirit unless you have a 100% prayer life. Well, there you took your stand. If you recognize your sin, that's how you make your stand. And if you make your stand, then the Lord will stand by you, just like it says in the song, "Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me." So, are you conscious of it? If you read the Bible, you'll be conscious of what you're doing wrong and what you're doing right. And if you confessed your sins or not, and if you have found the way, as I'm telling you the way, of how to live the glorified life, the victorious life, then you obtain mercy if you do it. If you would not, if you would lead the victorious life, something more is still needed. All this comes with experience, and you're not going to be experienced, you baby Christians that are only about 10 or 15 years, 10 or 12 years old in the Lord. You don't have the experience You haven't exercised the Word of God to know, to have the experience enough, because there's so many different angles that the devil comes at you that you just don't have the experience of that. You don't have that experience in you. That is, in your mortal body or flesh. There, quote, dwelleth no good thing, Romans 7:18. So we have a delight in the law of God after the inward man, but, you see, another law in your members bringing you into captivity to the law of sin and death. And it's compelling, very compelling to you, to cry out to God if you really are interested in getting to heaven, O God, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of the body of this death? That's verse 24 in chapter 7 of Romans. It's not as if it was at conversion when you thought over your few or many sins. Oh God, forgive me my sins, you say at conversion. Then the Spirit of the Lord enters you, and you're washed in the blood. Then the Spirit comes in you. This kind of work goes much deeper to be able to be delivered from the body of death. In other words, a lot of people, you know, everybody, when they get saved, they say, well, the devil still keeps coming to me, and I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm just leaving. And that's because of the sin in the members. You're saved, your spirit, your soul is saved, but you're still living in the same body that you sinned in. And you're familiar with sin because you sin so much. It goes a lot deeper for you to be able to live a victorious life. You need to grow in faith. That takes time. Yeah, this takes some striving. You'll find that as a Christian, that you don't yet have the adequate power to do the good that you would. That you would like to do, you must be brought to a new and deeper insight as to what sin is in your nature and into your utter weaknesses. Even though you are a Christian and live as you must. When we become a Christian, our body still goes on, amen?
Amen.
But we need to get a deeper understanding of our sins. Well, you just think, well, if I don't commit adultery anymore, and if I don't get drunk anymore, then I'm fine. No. You're still going to get the temptations, and the temptations to your flesh are going to overpower you, unless you put on the full armor of God, unless you put on the whole Word of God, unless you put on the whole Spirit. God, unless you do everything that the Lord says, especially praying without ceasing and praying always. You must do that. So even though you're a Christian, you still must do that and get closer and closer and closer to the Lord until you have grown to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, yes, 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 you still are alive. And you're still getting beaten by the devil, tempting you always, and you don't have any power over it yet. Not as much as you need to stand day by day, every day, one day at a time. You're going to learn how to cry out to the Lord this way, quote, who shall deliver me? Me, myself, I. O wretched man, a prisoner bound under the law of sin and death? Question mark. I've always stated that the answer to this question is a little further on in the chapter. Quote, I thank God, who's able to serve, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is to, able to deliver us from this wretchedness of our flesh. That's chapter 7, verse 25. The answer is there, folks. Brothers and sisters, I'm not calling you brothers and sisters. I'm calling you brothers and sisters, but you need more than a mere conversion. You must grow in grace. In other words, grow in power. Get closer to God. Get more and more powerful every day. You don't get weaker as you get older in the Lord. You're supposed to be more and more powerful. Paul did. I do. You can. Paul was just the worst piece of flesh on earth at that time, he said. Amen?
Amen?
The worst of sinners. And I was too. I never killed any Christians that I know of. Maybe with looks and with railings and stuff, but I certainly didn't pull the trigger on anybody and never will, never would. Then followers of the revelation of what there is in Christ. Well, in other words, the revelation of what is in the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God. It isn't just as given in Romans, the third chapter. I mean, we were talking about the seventh chapter. It is much a more. What it is that I am in Christ Jesus, and the, quote, the law, quote, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. In other words, when I'm living close to the Lord, when I'm laying there in prayer both day and night, then the law of sin and death is doesn't even faze me. I'm so close to the Lord that I am becoming accustomed to his living in his power. And the law of sin and death didn't have any pull on him whatsoever, even though he was living in a human body the same as ours. You have to get deeper in the Lord, don't you think?
Amen.
Don't you think so?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, because of the holiness that the Lord God gives me by staying before him in prayer. And where is that? In heaven. I'm sitting with him in heavenly places. And that's where you need to be, brother and sister. If you're being tossed about by every wind of doctrine, you're double-minded, you don't know what to do, what to do, what to do. So this is Romans 8:2. Quote, under which I was bound, unquote. I was bound according to the law of sin and death. It is the experience that the law or power of the life of the Holy Spirit in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death, and now calls on me in a new sense, by a new surrender, to acknowledge Christ as the bestower of every victory, of the victory over sin and death. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
This involves an absolute new surrender unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You thought you were surrendered unto him, but you're still being batted about, torn, tortured, full of sin, because you haven't made the new surrender. You haven't looked into the scriptures and see how sinful not praying is. It hasn't reached into your yet carnal mind. So we have to make a full surrender unto the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the Holy Spirit, unto God our Father. You may have used these words, quote, heart surrendered unto you, Lord, unquote, and the word consecrated unto you, Lord, unquote, many times, but without rightly understanding what you're saying, what these words of yours mean. You've been brought by the teaching of Romans 7, a complete sense of the hopelessness of leading a true Christian life. I've heard so many ministers preach that wrongly. They just say, well, it's impossible for us not to sin. They don't go on to chapter 8 or to the end of that chapter. It says, I thank God that in Christ Jesus I'm able to be delivered from this sinful state that I'm in. Amen?
Amen.
So they don't, and they're teaching that, and they shouldn't be teachers because they're novices. And the Lord says, suffer not a novice to preach, or to teach, rather, because what they do is they fall into the same condemnation as the devil. People have a desire to exalt themselves into the capacity of a teacher, and yet they haven't lived close to the Lord. They haven't, they don't rightly divide the word. And those of you that teach such things, it's that you need to repent, because what you're doing is throwing a lot of people's souls to hell because they don't believe that they can possibly keep the commandments of the Lord. What kind of a cruel God would it be to tell us that we must be holy and pure and clean if we can't? The secret to it is living a prayer life so that you can keep a spiritual life going on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
Leave it for one day, a prayer life, and you'll go down. That's the day that Satan will be there for you. You got to lead a true Christian life. It's, according to Romans 7, impossible to lead a true Christian life or a true prayer life by your own efforts. You must be walking in the Spirit. When you're saved, the Spirit of God, which is eternal, enters into your temporary spirit of life. And you are supposed to then, he gives that to you to commune to him, to grow in grace, grow in power, grow closer and closer to the Lord on a daily basis. It's impossible with your own efforts to do that. You have to follow the instructions of the Lord to pray always and pray without ceasing. The same way you feel that the Lord Jesus, our Lord, must take you up by his own power in an entirely new way, which is not really new. It's been in the Bible all these years. And must take possession of you by his Holy Spirit in an entirely old, but to you an entirely new way. You have to, God gives us all the measure of faith, but then that measure has to be, we have to thank God for that and then keep growing closer and closer and closer to him so that our faith grows. We have to grow in faith. Amen?
Amen.
To where we can say to yonder mountain, depart from me, and it'll depart. And that we could have the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven. There's so many benefits that it just doesn't, there isn't anything worth not having a prayer life so that you can have a spiritual life and so that you can enter heaven. This is the only thing that can preserve you from constantly sinning on a daily basis. It's a brand new day. It's a fresh day to start. Sinning a day again. Well, I know that I have to sin. That's what they say. Well, a new day that I can go out and sin. Who can I have sex with today? Let me look through the congregation and pick out one. See if they're making eyes with me. And they're looking to see if I'm making eyes at them. Only the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, can make you really victorious every day. This is perfection. There is no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit. This leads you to look away from yourself and really to free yourself, to get free from yourself. You have to get free from yourself. You have to make a covenant with your eyes, your mind, your everything to pray. You have to get a hold of the Lord and really expect everything from the Lord Jesus, our Christ, our Creator. If we begin to understand these things, we are prepared to admit that in our human nature there is nothing, no good thing at all, because our human nature is under a curse and is nailed with Jesus to his cross. Then we're able to understand what Paul means when he said that we are dead to sin by the death of Christ. Therefore, are we able to obtain a share of the glorious resurrected life, the resurrection life that there is in Jesus, and only Jesus? By such perfect insight, we are encouraged to believe that Christ, through his life in us and through us, through his continual indwelling, can keep us just as to our conversion. At our conversion, we didn't have any rest. Right after my conversion, everybody came after me to try to pull me away from salvation. And that'll happen to you as well. If you'll remember, if you think back, it happened to you. We had no rest until we knew that he had received us, until Jesus had received us. And the more you give yourself totally unto him, the more you'll know that. So now we are able to feel the need of coming to him to receive the assurance from him that he was absolutely he had absolutely undertaken to keep us by the power of his resurrection. That's his resurrection life. You can't be resurrected unless you're resurrected in his resurrected life. You pompous, say, idiot or fool. The Lord says, don't call anybody a fool, because you don't. But if you don't believe in God, the scriptures, the word is God, then you are a fool. So I get off the hook that way. Therefore, we feel that there must be some kind of an act as definite as his reception of us at the time that we were converted, by which he gives us an absolute assurance of victory. Now, remember, at conversion, we don't have that victory yet. We have to grow and grow. When he sees that we're keeping the commandments of the Lord, that we're really seeking him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then he gives us the Holy Spirit. And ye shall have power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, how do we get the Holy Spirit? Draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto you. The Bible says, amen.
Amen.
Even though it seems to us to be too impossible, too great, too powerful, and too much, we have to live, we're living in the real world, everybody says. But this isn't the real world. This world is going to dissolve. The real world is in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The man who casts himself without a plea unto the arms of Jesus will experience that he does indeed receive us into such a fellowship of power that will make us from the beginning onward, more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:37. What we have to do is have faith in the Holy Spirit's power. The Word of God. Jesus said, "The words I speak unto you are spirit, and they are your life." What makes it possible for us to persevere in our surrender to Him? The Lord has already prepared Himself to take up Himself the care. He took up the care and preservation of our lives every day, if we want that, and all the day long. That is, if we trust Him, if we have faith in Him, that He will do it, and He said He will. So if you don't believe that, then you're a sinner. That's how we're saved, is by faith, not by sight. If we have faith to trust Him to do it. In many people's testimonies, this thought is emphasized. Many people have said that they felt themselves called to a new surrender to an entire consecration of their lives to Christ. That is, that they are able to reach to the smallest things, but they were hindered by the fear of failure, that the Lord would fail them. The Lord will never fail those that are striving for perfection. Amen?
Amen.
Well, gosh, we had testimonies and Bible reading and everything else, but I see that this message has carried me to the end of the program. So it's time to be converted. This is conversion time in the program. Amen?
Amen.
Those of you that feel yourself that you want to be converted, you can be. And those of you that have felt that you were more than conquerors in your own strength, you need to be converted into a higher level of faith in Christ Jesus. You need to be at the throne at all times. Don't you think so?
Amen.
I know so. So if you'd like all this, say this prayer to the Lord. And Father, I believe things that I've heard this evening, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God with all power. And I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, past sins. And the sins of ignorance. But when people are able to know, when they know they're sinning and they don't stop, that's not ignorance anymore, and therefore they're not forgiven for those. So we need to repent, you folks out there, and say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all these filthy sins away from me that I've committed. And Lord, for all of you people out there, say to the Lord, Lord, I really need to know more about sin. And I didn't realize it was so sinful. Forgive me, Father. Let me draw nigh unto you more and more every day, so that you'll be with me more and more every day, that I may live the spirit life. I must lead the prayer life. Lord, you will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. I know you won't turn me away, therefore I know you've heard me and answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, raise your hands up and thank and praise the Lord. And just keep thanking him and start reading and praying on a daily basis so that you can be living a victorious life so that sin won't any longer have any power on you. Now, Sharon, tell him four different ways to receive a copy of program number 291.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying make sure you tune in tomorrow for the conclusion or a partial conclusion of this message. Right now, I'd like to sing for you, I'll Walk With God.
That I said.